Will somebody please call Child Protective Services?
Shh, quiet. The prophet speaks.
No more Jayhawk!
Long before the Superdome, where the Saints of football play, lived a city that the damned call home. Hear their hellish roundelay.
New Orleans, home of pirates, trucks, and whores. New Orleans.
Hello, hello, it's the Prophet Joshua.
And it's Steve McJeezy.
Steven on the delayed pickup of his microphone.
There. Sorry about that.
Wasn't ready for this. That's an old throwback little song from The Simpsons, because they recently went back to New Orleans over the weekend.
That was awesome.
Did a little New Orleans montage thing.
They plugged like every legit restaurant.
Yeah, they did about like 35 different businesses. So all of those businesses have pretty little pictures and screen caps. Hopefully they can hang up in their restaurants, my favorite of which was the Superdome photo that I capped over there on the NOLA Trash Talk Facebook page. But it's the Prophet. It is April 25th, 2018, another Wednesday midweek episode. We're going to keep rolling with these midweek publications until Jazz Fest is over, and then we'll try to return to the usual Sunday schedule.
Yeah.
First thing we want to get to for today.
Oh, God.
Our little homeboy frequently on the show.
Shane O'Mac.
Listeners know Shane. Shane got in the news for a Good Samaritan reason, and it's on the NOLA Trash Talk Facebook page. Published it just before we uploaded this episode, WWL TV. Shane is the guy that went and gave CPR to the stranger having a heart attack in his house. I guess he lives down the street from myself as well, and anonymously saved the guy before EMS showed up and took him to the hospital. And it was enough of a feel-good story to end up on the news.
Yeah, it's
how do they find these stories?
I think that the daughter, like, told the doctor, because the doctor was like, "Who did this?" And they were like, "Some rando." And the doctor was like, "Wait up, some rando? This is all hypothetical. I'm thinking." So the doctor was like, "Okay," and then somehow.
But if you're a beat reporter and your editor's like, "Hey, go find me a feel-good story."
Well, right.
So where do you go? Where do you begin?
Well, the girl, the daughter on there had like massively posted on social media, and she finally like contacted WWL. She was like, "Look, this happened. This is a medical report."
It's so funny that she didn't know Shane and I. We all just lived next
right
door.
Right next door. Right, I know. Next door. You've never seen these ass clowns running around.
That's that thing
doing laundry.
That's that like, thing about like, you know, you don't even speak to your neighbor.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, you know, you have no idea who your neighbors are these days. No,
and you know it. You never do.
Well, I mean, back in the day, I did. We knew all of our neighbors. All.
Yeah, so Shane ran out of the house, and that girl was crying, and then so he went.
Well, she wasn't exactly moping on the porch.
Right.
She was screaming hysterically.
Because I came home a little bit after that night, and Shane's like, "Dude, you will not believe what happened." And I was like, "Oh, God, what happened?" Because usually that sentence leads into something that's not good. Usually involving someone being thrown out of somewhere.
Right.
So, and then he talked about this crying girl outside. And I was like, "Dude," I was like, my gut instincts in that situation, as I told Shane, was like, I run the other way from the screaming girl.
Do not
girl.
Be a white knight.
Yeah, no. White knights get killed.
No.
I don't know what's going on with the screaming girl. No, this is a fairly benign situation, as it turned out. So Shane went in there and did CPR to the beat of Staying Alive. So who says sitting around watching Netflix and watching The Office all day long can't change the world, Steve?
That's hilarious. I'm so
happy. WWL actually captured that part in the interview. That made the cut.
Yes, they edited the shit out of it, and that made the cut.
I joked with Shane when he talked about going into the house and saving this dude because he's in this Terminex uniform, which you can see in the WWL feature. I was like, what were you? Did you walk in the room and was like, "It's okay, everybody. Terminex is here. Clear out."
No, I don't think he went in the house in his Terminex.
Right. But I didn't know that at the time. That's
what
I assumed, because I figured this was happening as he was getting home from work. I didn't know he was.
I think it was like later on in the evening.
He was coming from home from kickball or something.
Yeah.
So that's why he was called a jogger.
Yeah. Oh.
In some of these articles. I'm like,
God,
yeah,
damn.
He's a jogger. Yeah,
dude.
He's coming back from the park.
There were so many clowns that when I was sharing the story, they're like, "That's fake news. That dude was not jogging." But yeah, well,
I just wish he had been more hammered for the whole thing. He'd like it just if it happened on like a Saturday or Sunday night,
right?
Like drunk man anonymously saves heart attack victim.
Well, there are other people that were surmising. You know, what if he was just like high? That's why he was so calm. Like he was just like real mellow. He's like, dude, don't worry about it, dude. Yeah, I got this.
What's going on? Oh, and, it's just a heart attack.
And
man.
Like the right spot, he pushed, and then the guy goes.
Yeah, man. Feel the.
Yeah,
bodies,
don't worry about
man.
It, bro. That's awesome. Well, you know, it doesn't surprise me that his heart rate can go down in crazy situations like this, but other situations.
You need to train yourself to do that. Yeah.
Yes, but other situations. But,
yeah.
That are much easier to be calm in.
Like watching a game or gambling.
Like watching a Mardi Gras parade.
Or that. Oh, yeah.
Are not as easy.
Oh, right, right.
It takes someone really dying.
Oh, yeah. So not just a few months ago, we talk about Good Samaritan Shane mouthing off to a woman at a Mardi Gras parade.
What if that, do you think that lady, do you think that lady saw the news? She was like, mother.
I God, I hope so.
Oh gosh!
Oh, the woman they were about to kill each other.
That would be. I told him this. I said,
yeah. When I see the Good Samaritan stories about people I know, all I think is the bad things those people have done.
Well, I told Shane this. I was like, the internet does not like a feel good story. Trust me. Trust me. That would be so funny if that lady called up them and it was like, this kid called me. Bloody blah 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 blah, and then what do you have your hands tied?
What is it? The next article's life saving joggers about to be piece of shit.
Oh no!
What a twist!
But I told him, I said, shut down your social media for 2 days. Just do it. Let the dust die.
That yeah. So you're the rare feel good story on NOLA Trash Talk. We're not going to take any credit for
none at all.
Shane's accomplishments.
And the next time he's on here, we'll have him. Tell the unedited version if that's okay. If he's on, you know, in the next week or so. Because obviously news is news, and in 30 seconds, it's nada.
Yes. So, quiet weekend for you, Steven?
I was going to say.
Or quiet week for me. What are we doing here?
I was going to say, first of all, if that would have been me, the first thing I would have said is, profit, lock down everything. Lock down everything.
What?
All this nonsense. Oh, gosh.
We are in the week before Jazz Fest, or we're 2 days before Jazz Fest opening.
Yeah.
And the NFL Draft. Oh, God, it'll be good to get that over with.
God.
And the Zurich Classic.
That I always enjoy.
Yeah. So, on the cusp of a lot of big things. Not a lot happening this past weekend, but I did go downtown to the Quarter on Sunday and check out the Tall Ships, though, on my slower drinking schedule of getting downtown. I missed the Tall Ships. They shut it off to the public at 5 o'clock.
Gosh.
I was kind of bummed. Kind of wanted to go on a boat. But, you know, that turned into a quarter pub crawl thing. Not just a week after I had just done it for French Quarter Fest.
Yeah, I what did I do this past week? I did a lot of nothing. It was my first day off in...
Yeah, last week was the tax episode.
So it was. Wait up! Did we do last?
Steven is free now.
Did we do last Wednesday?
Yes.
So yeah, I was still in like I don't even know where I was last Wednesday, you know, mentally. But this past weekend, I did a lot of just like chill. I had Friday off. We got crawfish with Mrs. McGeezy. Finally, we did crawfish. Saturday, I can't even remember, but it was probably just really chill.
Speaking of crawfish,
Sunday just chilled.
Unique ways of doing crawfish have cropped up all over the city. The Vietnamese one has been sprinkled here and there, mostly out, obviously, towards the east. But I did.
Was that put sriracha in there?
I did last night at Paradigm Gardens, which is this interesting little garden place that grows produce for Coquette and Patois. And there's across the street from Central City Barbecue, which is another kick ass place that I have not yet gone into, but it looked cool and smelled good. But they had a little, Paradigm had this little crawfish boil last night doing Jamaican style crawfish with a whole Jamaican style spread and free alcohol with a cover charge. So
it was jerk crawfish.
Jerked crawfish, baby. Not out of character for me to go do something like this on a Tuesday, but I checked it out and it was interesting. Not as spicy as we're used to.
Yeah, because jerk chicken is more like that, like, it's like sweeter. It tends to be sweeter.
It is. And I guess the second batch, of course, is better than the first batch. It's interesting. Paradigm Gardens, you may have seen them, people, listeners of NOLA Trash Talk, seen them shared a lot on social media because they do goat yoga. They do yoga on the grounds of the little garden there. And the garden really looks like it was an abandoned lot that someone bought and just planted a bunch of stuff. So it kind of looks like it reminds me of those like save your community like projects back on Nickelodeon in the 90s where all the kids would work on a little space.
Oh my God.
And plant a tree. It kind of like looks like the best possible outcome of one of those like community projects, even though it's its own little business. But they do yoga and they have baby goats that they let wander around the people while they do yoga.
Yes. Is it supposed to be like...
I guess it's more therapeutic.
Therapeutic?
Now, I went there to the crawfish boil thinking like, oh, it's like the lobster tank. Like, I'm gonna pick out my baby goat.
Oh, I see.
It was not like that.
Have you ever seen Tom Brady with the goat?
No, but...
Google that. It's incredible. He takes these fashion pictures. He's got one where he's like being choked.
Because he's the goat, greatest of all time.
No, he's just holding a goat.
That's the joke, though. Why?
I don't think so, but it makes sense though.
It is,
but it was these pictures are like 10 years old though.
Even better.
Yeah, but the one where he's got like the leash on him, it's just weird. I don't know. It's a stupid wife.
Yeah. So goat yoga. I don't know how often they do it. Maybe it's every day. So you can go sweat out that miserable tax season, Steve, and have baby goats climb all over you.
Goats are good pets, but not in cities.
Rather pleasant.
Yeah, they're pleasant. They just are just human garbage. They're just garbage.
But it's human garbage that does the yoga.
They're just garbage disposals. I had a guy, one of our friends in Pennsylvania had a herd of goats, and they just trucked everything you put in front of them. I was going to say, like other hipster stores that are improperly built. Hey, newsflash, don't build a furniture store in a hipster warehouse. How's that?
Now, they don't know how that fire started.
Oh, okay.
We're, of course, talking about the giant mid-city blaze.
Yeah.
That from consumed NOLA till you die.
No, NOLA till you burn.
Yeah. I made a parody bumper sticker years ago. It's on my old laptop. I put the NOLA till you guy's skull head just in a clip art moving truck and NOLA till you move.
There you go.
I thought it was more realistic. I didn't want to be too hyperbolic with my bumper sticker message. I figured it's like, well, I'll be NOLA till I move.
Till I move.
Yeah, but that went up in Mid City, right there next to American Can Company.
Yeah,
that's they said $1 million in damages over there.
That's it
of what they lost.
That's it for
the company.
That's what I'm saying. Is that like this furniture?
Sorry, not enough people died, Steve.
No, but I'm saying is like this furniture was in a shit warehouse. I've been in there, and I was looking around. I was just like, this is where y'all are selling overpriced furniture. Oh, great.
Well, it's the cool.
Yeah, the cool hipstery thing. Not anymore.
When I mentioned on Sunday I was down at the Tall Ships, I ended up over in Frenchman. I was walking through all these little market things on Frenchman, which is all the artsy people selling their own jewelry.
I heard hearsay it was somebody from Door Furniture. That's just hearsay.
Oh, okay.
Furniture wars in New Orleans.
You know what I can't speak? But speaking of the hipster artsy stuff, I came across the vendor that does the hand-painted, paint-splattered sports coats.
Ah,
which are pretty cool. I mean, if you get them like LSU, more Mardi Gras colors or Saints colors. But $175 for a sport coat that's been splashed with paint.
Sounds about right.
And after I talked the guy off of like trying to sell me one, even though I was fairly drunk on Frenchman, it showed up not just a day later as I'm watching TV and seeing promos for Southern Charm New Orleans. I see a guy in it wearing... The jacket
Sucker.
That I own probably almost bought.
Sucker.
I was like, oh, man, good thing I dodged a bullet there.
It's just like anything else.
They were pretty. They were cool.
$175? Come on.
Though I dropped a couple hundred day on some concert tickets to go to Texas this weekend. But I'll come back around and grab one of those jackets. I just got to be in a different state. I'm managing my money. Everybody's doing Jazz Fest this weekend. Joshua's going to venture out to Houston for Judas Priest.
Yeah, you're going to the Catholic concert.
Right.
Judas Priest.
You know so much about rock and roll. Shameful. We got an update on one of our favorite stories from last year.
This fucking guy right here.
Let's dial it back to that Lamborghini crash on Chapultepec. Driven by the dude who was borrowing the Lamborghini from his doctor friend, who was also molesting his patients while cheating on his wife. He killed the passenger of the Lamborghini in the crash where they hit the flood wall right at that curve before Walmart. It's been radio silent on the story for a while.
Well, I mean, it's just like, you know, nothing but like continuance. But this was, wasn't this one of the stories that when we did like 2016 in a wrap? Like, this was, like, obviously top five, right?
Was it 2016?
Yeah, there it is.
Wow.
Kobe.
Yeah. The story is 2 years old, and the Lamborghini driver, the wonderful-looking fellow there.
Oh, he looks like shit.
He reached out to the victim's family.
Yeah.
And that's, like, not something you're supposed to do.
No, it's not.
What do you think he was trying to, like, apologize, and maybe they would part of a plea deal or something to...
I have no idea.
Judge flipped on him for doing it.
Oh, of course. Of course.
The judge said, I absolutely want to throw you in jail. This was a very stupid decision on your part.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Judge Pittman, she was probably imagining one of her daughters being killed, and then the said person responsible just reaching out to her and saying, hey, what's up? How you doing?
No hard feelings, right?
Yeah. You think he texted the wrong guy? Let's see. This guy's name is Adams. What's the dad's name?
I don't know. I don't think they name him in here.
Lorette's dad. Okay. Yeah, this guy's an idiot, and he deserves the kitchen sink that is going to hit him in the face when he is eventually convicted. He can kick the can down the road and pay
a bunch of... This is 2 years since the incident went down.
You can pay a bunch of expensive lawyers all you want. If you can afford to rent a Lamborghini, I'm sure
he didn't. He borrowed the Lamborghini.
Exactly. Oh, he did.
It was the rapey doctor.
Yeah, the rapey doctor. But
I think we can't call him rapey doctor because I think he got off on those charges.
Allegedly rapey doctor.
The plastic surgeon.
Yeah.
The creepy. Yeah, he let him borrow the Lamborghini.
Was it a borrow or was it a lease?
And he was loaning him money or something because he was trying to hide. The doctor was trying to hide money from his wife through.
And then
divorce.
The business partner and like wasn't this guy his business manager and he was siphoning money from him?
Something like that.
The whole story, like, you would need a dry erase board to say, let's start from the very beginning. And by the end of that drawing of what's going on here, that would be filled with circles, arrows. And, like, this, that, and this
and
is going
keep
on.
Keep in mind, this guy was obviously, you know, a little intoxicated when he picked up this girl and was driving. Had he just paid attention
a little bit,
and had missed the flood wall and there had been no accident, who knows what these guys could have been up to by now.
He was at 0.11 and the legal limit's 0.08. If he's at 0.07, the ramifications of this are, like, lessened by 50% at least.
Right, right.
It's ridiculous.
He also killed somebody, though.
I understand that.
I mean, but this DUI is almost secondary.
But I'm saying, because he was over the limit, that's why it's a criminal case. If he was under the limit, he probably would have been a civil case. Because accident's an accident. And, you know, it's just, I'm just saying, it's easier to prosecute the guy because he was over the limit. That's why.
Gotcha.
Just saying.
Scrolling down the Trash Talk news feed, look at this photo I took on
Sunday. Is that, oh my God, is that the freaking puppet from Saw?
That we were walking along the riverfront, the same we were doing Frenchmen and the tall ships. There was a passed out clown just sleeping in the grass with just the creepiest. I mean, this is as close as I wanted to get this photo, by the way.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
Because I didn't know. I didn't know if it was going to be a living statue that was going to spring to life.
Can we identify the gender, or are we just doing that's gender fluid?
That's a gender fluid killer clown.
I got you. Okay. Looks like a fucking hoo-ah from here.
Okay.
Know. Who knows?
Yeah. So we got that clean sweep.
Oh, Pels. Gosh.
How do you like that, New Orleans? You still gotta work up the enthusiasm for that NBA team.
That's what I did on Saturday. I went to the Pels game.
Oh, you were there?
Yeah.
Oh, I was there.
And it was great.
Say hello.
It was last second miracle. Went down there.
You're going to the upcoming home games?
But the
Golden
upcoming
State?
One, yeah. So a buddy of mine.
How do you feel about, let's not talk about the actual sports conjecture. More of like, how do you think the city's going to ante up their NBA excitement?
Okay. I can say this. Having watched 3 of the 4 games in a drinking facility, not the entire game, but, you know, part of it. Every bar in this city has benefited tremendously from the Pelicans not only playing in the playoffs, but winning.
Well, this is extending my job, too.
Oh, of course.
I'm benefiting.
It's like the ripple effect here.
Surprise.
Yeah, all of this is just like Lanyap on steroids.
Lanyap, yep.
I mean, I was talking to some of these bartenders, and they're like, it was wall-to-wall in here for Saturday's game, yeah, wall to wall.
In where?
In like the bars at 4 in the afternoon, because there's nothing else to do. There's no Jazz Fest, there's no nothing. So it's like Pels, and then we get the clean sweep. Like, that is amazing. We were looking for, I think Anthony Davis was looking for his first playoff win ever. Then he just sweeps. We've never swept anybody ever, which was including Hornets, you know?
I enjoy the Pelicans invading the spring sports news in New Orleans, because that means we get less mock drafts.
Oh, God.
Which are the cancer of
it really is.
Sports radio.
It really is. And, you know, normally we suck it up in the regular season, don't make the playoffs. So it has to be about your mock draft. Your mock draft.
2.0, 3.0,
oh,
4.0.
Oh, God.
And it's even worse is every mock draft article that hits the wire on any, the local sites, NOLA or whatever, and then Bleacher Report, then there's hundreds of thousands of comments on all the mock drafts, and it's all just everyone playing a guessing game.
I love when they replay Mel Kiper and the other, you know, F word that I can't say on this program. I love when they replay all their, like, bombs. They're like, Ryan Leaf, first round lock, Hall of Famer. Like, stuff like that.
Oh,
it's hilarious.
My predictions, and here I am. See, I'm doing draft conjecture here. That I just assume every QB is going to blow it, and the next great QB that lands at a team that becomes their starter for the next 6 to 10 years is some like undrafted accident.
Yeah,
that just.
But that's normally how it happens.
So I was like, what's the point of looking at all these? And you know what I do? I judge them by their names. Does their name roll off the tongue? Like, does that sound like a pro quarterback name, or does that sound like a bust kind of name? You know,
I'm trying to think.
I try to psychically like, what name am I going to hear a lot on ESPN for the next decade? Am I going to hear this name? Am I going to hear what, Josh Allen? I'm going to hear that name.
Yeah, it is harder to predict the success of an NFL player than any other sport in the world. That's why they call it not for long. Because just look at the stats. The average NFL career is less than 3 years. And if you make it to your second
contract. It's kind of like the freshman class at LSU. Half these kids won't be here by spring.
Exactly.
Half those kids won't be there by fall.
Pretty much. It's like if you you're considered like an NFL success story if you make it to your second contract.
Right.
That's unbelievable. And, you know, for any running back that's come out of Alabama in the last 10 years, only one has done that, and that's Mark Ingram.
Hey, so but to tie a bow on the conjecture, I say cuz the Superdome was so prominently featured in that last episode of The Simpsons, I say we've got the magic on our side for this season. Done deal.
I'm happy about
Super Bowl champions in Atlanta. That's what's going to happen. There's your conjecture.
I love it.
We don't need anything else.
Stupid Philly cannot stop winning.
Speaking of which, after that Simpsons thing, throw back that for a second, I was on the porch at Mahoney's yesterday afternoon and showing people the Homer at Mahoney's screen cap. I'm like, yeah, y'all didn't see this? She probably hang this up a little.
Mahoney's on a magazine?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. Good.
But okay, so we're marching into Jazz Fest. Still got that beautiful weather happening. We're getting really, really lucky.
I heard a theory on this.
Ah.
Would you like to hear?
Is it like a voodoo magic theory?
It was given to me by a Creole man.
Was it the shadowy guy from the Zatarain's box? Did he come alive and whisper have. You the secrets?
He was a great driver. He was just saying like how like the weather has been so crazy that if it's this cool at this time of year, then Jazz Fest is probably going to be beautiful because in every other year.
Never is that.
I know. But in every other year, it's never this cool this late in April. It's always blazing. So that Jazz Fest is nothing but a frying pan. And I was like, he said, you know what they should do?
But I'd say it gets hot. Jazz Fest is the line.
But what I'm saying, he's like, you know what they should do? Jazz Fest is a fest that people pay a shit ton of money for tickets, and it's always shitty weather. French Quarter Fest is free, and they always get beautiful weather. Why not you switch those and make the freebies fry up in the quarter and make the people who pay get better weather?
I don't like your plan at all. No, what are you crazy?
It's hilarious. No. But it's a good.
You can never charge a cover to French Quarter Fest.
No, he's saying move French Quarter Fest to May, and then move Jazz Fest up to where French Quarter Fest is, like earlier in the year, so you get the better weather.
Yeah, that would be.
It makes sense because people always pay.
I guess they're afraid
bake.
Of that whole April showers thing. In April.
Oh yeah, because French Quarter Fest. In fact, what this year? Right. Armageddon, and then beautiful.
Okay. Well, I know we got rain coming. I think tomorrow.
Can I get the meteorology report from Family Guy?
It's gonna rain. Something. It's something little though. Not a big deal. Nothing to really affect the first weekend of Jazz Fest.
Yeah.
But our question for Jazz Fest: will our Skyrider be there with the hearts and fleur-de-lis aplenty?
Ah, yes.
Yes. So our former mayoral candidate Frank Scurlock, the man responsible for putting the money behind the skywriting that everyone takes pictures of at Jazz Fest every year, has pled no contest in public masturbation. And by public masturbation, it was in the back of an Uber.
Yeah, this is in it was in Los Angeles. One of our buddies, his brother is one of the assistant ADAs in LA County, and I don't have great.
Ordered to serve 1 year summary probation and follow all mental health directives, including counseling. And
yeah, he pleaded no contest.
Yeah, so he's got to do counseling and take medication to control that whole I want to jerk off in the back of an Uber desire.
Yeah, because that's the real prescription there. That's going to fix the problem.
It was just a pill. Oh, these are my anti-jerk off pills.
How about you send this guy to county for 3 months and let, you know, Guillermo and Montero get up in that ass for a couple months. I bet you he doesn't jerk off again.
Scurlock might like that. He might come out of that, and then the Skyriders are doing big black dicks across the sky. It's his love letter back to his boys in the pen.
It's like on Insider when Clive Owen's like, in a couple weeks, I'm going to be sipping Coronas on a beach, and Denzel goes, you're not gonna be sipping anything, and those things you put in your mouth—they're not Coronas.
It picked up at a West Hollywood hotel.
That's what I'm saying.
Back in February, jerked off in the back of the Uber. Uber driver flipped out and called the police, and it was determined not to be an official mental health determination associated with that case.
Wait up! But my question is:
so there's no mental health association with him pleading no contest, but part of his sentencing is counseling and medication.
Nothing makes sense.
No, again,
it's like
you're, and it's going to be an empty sky without those clouds.
If you have good lawyers and you're a first time offender, you're good.
Pretty good for a guy to make it that far and run for mayor and be a first time offender.
That's so funny.
Plus, he's got a great villain name, Scurlock.
Somebody. This is a stupid question, but I was just thinking is. I'm assuming Santa Monica is not in L.A. County, right?
It is.
Oh, it is.
It's right there.
Is L.A. County.
Hollywood and West Hollywood.
Because, like I said, one of our buddies' brothers is he's been in the DA's office there.
That's right.
He's been in the DA's office there like 20 years. So I wanted to text him or call him and say, hey, man, what's up with this case, you know?
But when you're picking up people late night in West Hollywood, Santa Monica Boulevard, I got to imagine you run the risk of a lot of jerking off in your back of your car.
I would imagine so, too.
That neighborhood, for those not yet privy to it,
I'm not aware
of it. The 700 block of Bourbon.
Wow.
Just on steroids. Just a tag.
Wow.
Just multiplied by sheer amount of people. Like, take the 700 block of Bourbon and make that Veterans Boulevard.
So
for like, you know, five blocks.
So dude is jerking it in the back seat. You pull into a gas station,
throw
it in park.
This happened while right on the heels of the whole mayoral thing.
Well, no, it happened
before he ran for mayor.
It happened in February 2017.
Right.
So it's like, we talked about this before. It's like, why would you run for mayor knowing this is out there? Imagine if you would have won.
I don't know. Didn't we said at the time, like, it's almost like you want this guy more than Mayor Mitch.
Imagine if he had to answer questions at a press conference.
And he'd get nervous and start jerking it.
Oh, my God. That'd be so funny.
But then he would just skywrite, "I'm sorry," afterwards.
Oh, this
dude,
guy.
Dude's got an ironclad PR system of just putting pretty art in the sky.
He doesn't have an ironclad way of spending money.
Oh, I thought you had an ironclad way of keeping his pants. You didn't. You swore. I thought that's where you were going, and then yeah.
The chastity belt from Men in Tights.
Swerved out of the Death Star trench at the last minute. It's going to be a lonelier sky at Jazz Fest. And speaking of which, any of the Jazz Fest guys you're looking forward to?
Galactic.
No, are you really? I did the math. Came up with this little graphic.
I have no idea about one song that Galactic sang.
No, I don't either. But the combined age of all your frontmen for your Jazz Fest headliners, your top
Jesus.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, the top 8 people on the Jazz Fest poster, 502 years, half a millennia of people is the headliner of Jazz Fest.
Yeah.
So that's Rod Stewart, that's Sting, Jimmy Buffett, Jack White, Beck, Lionel Richie, David Byrne, and from Aerosmith, I only counted Steven Tyler. 502 years.
Wow.
You excited for any of that, Steven?
No.
No.
No. I think Steve.
Are you excited for anything at Jazz Fest? Not artists, just anything?
No, dude, I'm going because we were sitting on the stage.
Right.
Like I would never pay to go to Trash Fest.
Well, hold on. We were talking about this upcoming Pelicans schedule. When are the next home games at the Smoothie King Center? Pelicans home game against Golden State the same day as you're planning to go to Jazz Fest, and you got tickets to one, you got tickets to the other.
Incorrect, my friend. So what I was explaining earlier was that my buddy who bought two tickets, he bought two tickets to all three games.
Okay.
Because they were saying, like, look, if you buy them all three games, it's cheaper, and he doesn't think he's going to have a problem moving
these
tickets.
I'm asking you if you had to pick one or the other.
If
you're picking your backstage Acura passes Sunday Jazz Fest or Pelicans Golden State.
I would obviously pick the Pelicans game.
Okay. All right. I was seeing if it was possibly
dumb.
An interesting.
I was looking at the lineup on Sunday, and it's like Steve Miller Band, maybe.
You don't want to fly like an eagle?
No.
I'll go to Swing Town.
I mean, like, you know, like give me a bunch of drugs, maybe, but like, you know, otherwise I'm just like, aren't you supposed to die? Like, fuck.
Please, no, I don't want to see. If Steve Miller dies, then I have to.
Like, you were popular 40 years ago. Like, what are you doing?
If Steve Miller dies, you don't understand. That means there's tributes to Steve Miller on classic rock radio.
Oh, then you have to always
then
hear
I
it?
I have to hear Steve Miller a lot. He's so white bread for, like, a classic rock legend, or if I can even call it that.
I used to like Jack Johnson.
You don't want to see LL Cool J?
Featuring DJ Z Trip? That Xanax Trip? No, I'm good.
502 years of Jazz Fest headliners.
Deepest, bluest,
and
my head is like a shark's fin.
The youngest of the Jazz Fest headliners is 42, Jack White.
Jesus.
So that's you gotta put in the decades if you want a top line Jazz Fest.
But again, I can't say that, like, oh, this lineup is terrible, because as we have discussed ad nauseum, my music knowledge is at like a friggin' 0.5 out of 10.
No, I'll corroborate all your ignorant opinions. This being terrible.
I just lost interest in music Maybe like 3 or 4 years ago.
I don't think, based on what you've told me about music, I don't think you've ever had any interest.
Well, I never really got into classic rock. So
you were seduced by the fast living world of tax accounting, and you never looked back.
I mean, it was kind of weird. It's wherever you're from, like, shapes your music knowledge. And, you know, when I was in high school, I hung around with a lot of the black kids who played basketball, who liked rap. And I was not interested in, you know, listening to System of a Down.
No. That's good.
So, like, it was either that or this. And then somehow, in the gayest form fashion, I loved John Mayer. So there you go. Right in the middle of that.
Yeah. That's. I came up in a weird zone with it because, as I said before, while everyone else is going to the first week of Jazz Fest, I'm skipping town to Texas to go see Judas Priest and some other vintage 70s rock bands or metal bands. And if I get into a conversation with people at bars, it's like, oh, you listen to metal? So you listen to System of a Down? No, not really. Avenged Sevenfold?
Anthrax?
Not really. Oh, you must like Down and Superjoint and Pantera. It's like, those are fine. Let's go. The local-ish bands. So I'm kind of like,
where's Pantera from?
Well, I mean, Phil Anselmo's from here, but Pantera came from Texas.
Oh, okay.
So there's a lot of like, I'm kind of in no man's land for my taste in New Orleans. I'd be more at home in Germany, obviously.
Yeah. Du hast.
That's not once again.
I know. That's the only one I got. It's the only one.
Let's touch on something that we hadn't got to recently. This shit with the Saints, Sensations. Girl getting fired from the team for improper conduct with the players. And improper conduct with a Sensation and a player is like, if you're in a restaurant eating as a cheerleader and a player walks in, you have to get up and leave.
That is so weird.
It is some Gestapo shit.
Have you read up on this? Because once I found out that the cheerleaders and her attorney were suing for $1, I knew that they had a just cause, and I did not care anymore.
Oh, because there's no controversy associated?
Right, because, you know, like, okay, you probably have a legit case here, and you know, you want to have a sit-down with Roger Goodell, who makes $30 million a year.
Those girls do not have an easy time. I was out on Sunday night with one of the Pelican cheerleaders. And I was talking to her about, like, so since you guys are in the playoffs, you have to learn newer and crazier dances for the game. So you got to keep anteing up.
So, yeah, but one of her requests is, no, and again, it's a hard job because you don't get paid for any of it.
They don't.
You just get, like, what, calendar sales and maybe, you know, like, yeah, calendar. Like
they run you ragged if you start putting on some pounds.
Well,
even if you can do everything fine, I've heard it before. They've had girls they fired that most athletic girls on the team, super athletic, but because of their shorter builds, they look chubbier. Thus,
look like Ace Rothstein in Casino, and the stage dancer is like, "Get out of here, get out of here."
It's probably that bad. Yes,
it probably is. So, what I was going to say is that okay. So Rogers, this chick wants to have a sit down with Roger Goodell, who makes $30 million a year, and she wants $1 for the lawsuit. So she wants to have a sit down with Roger Goodell for how long? 4 hours with Roger Goodell. Continue talking while I do the math on what per hour that's going to cost, like, this guy in his life.
And she wants to do it for a discussion on how to make the treatment of the NFL's treatment of its cheerleaders more equitable. Nothing wrong with any of this.
Okay. So if you make $30 million a year, okay, and these are just rough numbers, there's roughly 2,000 work hours in a year, 2,080, whatever. This little 4-hour sit-down is 60 grand.
60 grand for Roger Goodell?
He makes 15.
Well, his lawyer's going to be present, so.
Yeah, he makes 15,000 an hour.
All right.
Roughly.
Hey, she'll get $1. On her way out, she can grab a soda. No, she can't drink the soda. That'll make her fat.
I see.
And she won't make another team.
No, I mean, I don't know why they have cheerleaders, period. just get all cheerleaders out of everything.
I don't mind. Dude, when I'm watching these Pelicans game, as I have to for work, not so much with the Saints games because they never take, like, it's the Pelicans girls are always out there.
Right.
During every timeout.
Because there's a lot of timeouts.
And then firing off T-shirts and the other contests. I was like, hey, it's entertaining. They really have to spruce up Pelicans game because there's so much intermittent dead time with them. And I know there's a lot with football, too, but they two completely different kind of shows that you got to produce there.
Absolutely. I mean, you think the plumbers up in the 600 level can see the dancers
right,
dancing?
And there's so much other stuff going on in the wide expanse of the Superdome.
When there's a timeout or like an intermission, people are drinking.
Right.
They're not looking at you.
That's why it's what watching these Pelican shows, like when they had the first Pelicans home game, they had the rappers come out. It's a blanking. Manny Fresh
and
Juvenile came out, and there was all
nice.
These. All it was. Oh, I've heard everyone say it was the greatest halftime show in New Orleans sports history. But there was constant reminders throughout the show on the screens that were saying, you know, stay in your seat at halftime. Just like, don't get up, go to the bathroom.
Oh,
you're not going to want to miss this.
Right? Was it a
don't
surprise?
Don't you dare. No, yeah. No, because they were promoting it. Manny Fresh at halftime. Do not leave your seat.
That is awesome.
But yeah, when you're sitting up in the nosebleeds at the dome, there's enough entertainment just among the crowd.
Oh my God!
You don't have to like look at anything down on the field during a timeout, and they're not shooting T-shirts out at anyone at the Superdome.
You know, I was looking at over the weekend, like they had some Yankees Red Sox feuding. So I was just looking at like Yankees Red Sox Twitter. There are more fights in the stands in a Yankees-Red Sox game than there are in a Saints, like all the Saints home game combined.
Ever?
No, just like in a year. I haven't seen a fight at a Saints game in, I can't even remember.
I don't get to sit out in the crowds with y'all, so I don't. I see a fight at a Saints game, it's going to be at Barcadia afterwards.
Yeah, that's different. With the meatheads, but yeah, you don't sit with the peasants. You sit up in the ivory tower.
No, I don't. I sit more in like the shed.
The shed with a bunch of TVs.
Yeah, I don't. There's no ivory tower. No, I could climb up in the catwalks and be like Sting in WCW, looking down at the
just coming down the rafters.
Yeah, I'll come down with my baseball bat, break Matt Ryan's knees, and float back up.
That'd be great. That'd be a great bit for. I wish they'd have another Sting for like a WWE event. That'd be great.
Oh no, I want it in the NFL. Oh, no, no, a disenchanted Roger Goodell in face paint up in the rafters of all the NFL games with a bat comes down out of nowhere and like hammers an owner's knees out.
The more you think about it, there's no way a wrestler would do that these days. No way.
Yeah, I was looking at speaking yesterday's versus today, USA Today published a list of popular rock songs that are politically incorrect. So I cross-referenced that with any headliners at Jazz Fest this year. And one of them was Dude Looks Like a Lady from Aerosmith.
Nice.
Would be offensive to trans people.
That's also a song about Steven Tyler.
And then there's another one from
you didn't like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, nowadays. Dude
oh, my God.
Like,
yeah,
Dude Looks Like a Granny.
Oh, my gosh.
And then Rod Stewart had one about banging underage girls that, of course, is politically incorrect these days. But
yeah, no, he gets real turned off when she said, I have to go vote right now.
that's giving him a lot of credit.
That's giving him
for
a lot of credit.
At least she's 18. Damn. Yeah.
But, yeah, so it should be a little good deal with the Pelicans, man. I don't know how they're going to deal with the Warriors and all this BS, but you know, if they can steal one out there, they got a shot. So, whatever.
I'm predicting another sweep. I'm going to predict it like I predict the Saints Super Bowl win this year.
Oh, I love how they were like, don't bring a broom to the arena. Brooms are not allowed for game four.
Oh, okay.
That's hilarious.
All right. Well, this was 191 Enola Trash Talk. I'm the Prophet Joshua.
And I'm Steve McJesus.
And if you're done listening to the episode right now, if you scroll directly underneath of it, you can watch our buddy Shane O'Mac get his proper WWL TV credit for saving a man's life. We'll see you guys next time, about a week from now, in the In-Between Jazz Fest episode.
Tweener.
Later.
Stinking, rotten, vomited, vile New Orleans. putrid, brackish, maggoty, foul, you what a end. Crummy, lousy, rancid, and rank, you what a end.